On this first day of 2013, the nation of India is facing a wave of painful soul-searching that has brought women and men out onto the streets. The story of a young woman brutally raped and left to die on the streets of Delhi, who finally did die of her wounds last Friday, has motivated an historic discussion of gender roles, the enslavement of men and women by outmoded traditions, and the consequences of significant economic growth in India. The statistics on rape are terrifying in that nation, rising 25% from 2006 to 2011, and that's a period of historic prosperity. 600 rapes were reported in the city of Delhi alone in 2012, but resulting in just a single conviction. This is the story of every Indian woman, demonstrators have been shouting on the streets. Tolerance of violence against women in pop culture, a male-dominated criminal justice system, rising economic disparities between rich and poor are all seen to be contributors to this growing brutality. But one of the most critical factors may be demographic. Joining us now, Valerie M. Hudson, co-author of Bare Branches, The Security Implications of Asia's Surplus Male Population. She's also chair of the Bush School of Government and Public Service at Texas A&M University. Welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, John.
So talk about this surplus male population. Where does it come from? What is the scale of it in the nation of India?
Yes, India is one of the nations that today have an abnormal birth sex ratio, meaning that far more little boys are being born than little girls.
And that means that by the time they reach marrying age or coming of age, there are fewer opportunities for them to find mates, right?
That's correct. Since you're removing girls from the population, and since during the childbearing years, the ratio is typically normally 1-to-1, when you alter the birth sex ratios, you end up with tens of millions of young adult men who are surplus or who exceed the number of women in the population.
Now, how do they behave socially? And we should say that this surplus male population in India comes from a systematic selection of male births over female births. There's been an unwelcoming sense of female babies in Indian families for at least a generation now.
Oh, that's been going on for a millennia, to be honest with you. But what makes it much easier to do at this point in time is the new technology, such as ultrasound and sex-selective abortion. Now we even have a blood test at 7 weeks that purports to fairly reliably figure out the sex of your fetus. And so it's becoming easier and easier and easier to get rid of girl fetuses as if they had some sort of terrible birth defect in having two X chromosomes and selecting for male fetuses. So you're right, when you get to young adulthood, there's all sorts of social evils that that cascade outward from this abnormal sex ratio. One of them is rise in violent crime, especially targeted against women. You've noted the rising rape rates in India. But we also have all sorts of other types of phenomena, such as kidnapping and sale of women, which is prevalent in India. Kidnapping and selling women from poorer areas, such as the eastern areas of India, and sending them to the western areas of India, from the south to the north, and so forth. Of course, increased prostitution, increased HIV transmission. Rising suicide rates for women, lots of negative phenomena that come out of this abnormal sex ratio.
Well, one of the things that's important in a New York Times story where you are quoted, also an individual who studies criminology and justice in Mumbai, says that if poverty and unemployment were the only reason for these crimes, the rates would already be much higher, because both are constants in India. So this sex ratio issue is really having a profound effect. What would predispose surplus males to gather in packs, as you describe?
Yeah, that wasn't my quote. I didn't actually say that. I think the journalist said that. But what I have said in my book is that single young adult males tend to congregate. That is, they tend to migrate from the rural areas into the cities. They tend to live together, and they tend over time to realize that together as a small group, They can take from society that which they feel that they have been deprived of by society, which is their chance to become a family man, a head of household, to assume the kind of status that a male head of household has in India.
Where else in Asia is this going on, and what kinds of ratio imbalances have you seen elsewhere in the world?
Yes, India has one of the worst, but it's certainly not the worst. So China, of course, has the world's worst birth-sex ratio, where most academics feel that that ratio is over 120 boy babies being born for every 100 girl babies. Vietnam is very close behind, with about 118 boy babies for 100 girl babies. And then we have a cluster of countries in the Caucasus. So we have Armenia, Azerbaijan, Georgia, but also nations like Albania, where the birth-sex ratio is highly abnormal also.
All with dire implications for violence against women, do you think, or does it vary culture to culture?
No, I think rising violence against women, I think, is a given. The more interesting factor in terms of variability would be what it means for the destabilization of their societies. That is, whether you actually get increasing riots and inter-ethnic violence, whether you get spillover effects in a regional sense. And there the results are mixed.
And, of course, the challenges of what our society is politically going to do to socially address some of the sense of deprivation that comes from this surplus male population is clearly a theme going forward in India and elsewhere in Asia. Valerie M. Hudson, thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.
Valerie Hudson is co-author of Bare Branches, The Security Implications of Asia's Surplus Male Population. She's chair of the Bush School of Government and Public Service at Texas A&M University. Meanwhile, on The Takeaway, it's a story of welcoming baby girls in a household of one of our Texas listeners on this New Year's Day. They write, I'm excited for the adoption of a pair of sisters, ages 5 and 7, that have been with us for 5 months now. Simultaneously, I'm scared for our 17-year-old eldest teen, whose life is getting more complicated. It certainly is. Share us your stories of plans you're making for 2013. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. This is The Takeaway. Stay with us.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable development in communities across the country. More at rockfound.org.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.